Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Countdown. Savior's Day 2022. Sunday, February the 27th, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, live and in person, delivers his message to all of us, the Swan Song. NOI.org will carry this webcast live, 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this, of course, will be broadcast throughout the world. We are so excited. We are so thrilled to be able to see and hear from our beloved leader and teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so again, I greet all of you in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum, and welcome once again to Elevated Places Network and to our Thursday night presentation celebrating our 10th year on Blog Talk Radio, Ask Minister Ava, with myself, Sister Ava Muhammad, as your host, and my one and only illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. The Elevated Places team welcomes you, led by our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad. And we were so thrilled in 2021 to be joined by our brilliant legal contributor and host of her own Elevated Places Network program, which we are going to see to it grows by leaps and bounds in 2022, a time for justice, because that's exactly what time it is. And Sister Attorney Pamela, even after her own program launched, she has continued to take time from her busy schedule as a practicing attorney, a wife, a mother, and still joins us. And it just would not be the same without her. So we're so happy that she is with us tonight, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And we are looking forward to the powerful keynote address from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The title, of course, is unlike any message he has ever given. Now, some of us are, as it's natural that you would look up that term. You've probably heard it at some point in life. And so our brains are just exploding and our hearts are palpitating as we wait to see what this unique, exquisite, as Brother Dr. Rizzi Muhammad calls him, next-level human being, has to say to us and to the world. And also I'm excited because tonight's topic, the immeasurable love and impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Part 2. We had a wonderful program last week. Brother Terrence interviewed me on the air, and I will, of course, share more of my insight. He will share his, as he has spent a great deal of time traveling in the circle of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he has traveled coast to coast and north and south throughout this country. And, of course, we know he has also literally been around the world. We are looking forward to a special return guest who is always a pleasure, and who his knowledge is encyclopedic, but his delivery is very, very exciting and energetic. And that is the regional student minister over our southwest region of the Nation of Islam, Student Minister Abdul Halim Muhammad, Minister Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad. So with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to my dear brother to continue to take us further into tonight's exciting program. Brother Terrence, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, man. The excitement, Dr. Ava, oh my God, have to save his day. The excitement is beyond, beyond in the air. Let me just start by saying this. We want to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for just being him. Thank him for who he is. And I just, you know, for all those believers and all those who love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I just say pray for him and the leadership and for one another. But I say that you know, going into it, and we're waiting to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but just know this, that we have great, great, blessed leadership in the Nation of Islam. We have excellent leadership, and I just ask that those that know, lift up that prayer, that grandmama prayer, that grandmama prayer, that sincere prayer, that those that are working to bless those that are coming to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that we are blessed with success in orchestrating such a magnificent Savior's Day. It may be one day, but just rest assured that there's a lot of planning, there's a lot of organizing, there's a lot of strategy and preparation to receive the guests and the believers for Savior's Day to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I just ask that you pray and have that sincere prayer for much success, and that Allah blesses the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to deliver the swan song. So with that, Dr. Ava, I'm going to start, you know, and I'm so happy. Let me just give the initial stuff before I go in, that we want to make sure that everybody continues to go to MinisterAva.com, and if you miss the other night, if you missed this week, you can go to MinisterAva.com and then go and see the replay of the master's class. And if you missed it, you got to go back and go to MinisterAva.com to get the replay from the master's class. And, of course, tomorrow night we're going to be, just like Wednesday and Friday night, going to NOI.org so that you can hear and, you know, you can learn more of this life-giving teachings. Go to NOI.org on Wednesday and Friday night, but also Sunday, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. You can come hear more of this life-giving teaching. And also get your latest edition of the Final Call newspaper. Go to finalcalldigital.com, and make sure that you get your digital copy of the Final Call newspaper. With that being said, Dr. Ava, I have to just, you know, I just have to highlight something, Dr. Ava. I think you can appreciate this. But, you know, we have so many callers. We have so many listeners that listen to your show. But, Dr. Ava, we this week, I got something that it made me excited. We got a special listener. I didn't even know they was listening. But I just found out Cameron Cameron Thorne is a great listener from Fox News. He has been listening to our show because he did an article. I mean, he was trying to slander our brother Gary Chambers, who was on here. But in his article in Fox News, he mentioned you, he mentioned me, and I was like, I didn't even know he was a listener. So thank you, Cameron Cawthorn, wherever you are with Fox News, thank you for listening and referencing, you know, me, referencing Dr. Ava. And look, Dr. Ava, the best thing about it, he spelled our names right. He spelled our names right in his article. I was like, oh, thank you for lifting up this show. We are not just blogs, we are podcasts, according to him and Fox News. So, hey, thank you for listening. Make sure you spread the word and have everybody come listen to Ask Dr. Ava on Elevated Places. So I was happy, even though you did what you did for whatever, we know Allah works it out for the good. So every knock is a boost for us, because now people want to go hear this wonderful, blessed show. So let's go and, let's go right into some stuff. So I have to just say this, you know, we're not necessarily into sport and play on here, but we know the Super Bowl was big, Dr. Ava. And for me, being into hip-hop, oh, I love seeing 50, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, because Snoop Dogg, they told him you can't put a flag in your left pocket representing Crip. So he made his whole outfit a bandana, a blue bandana. His whole outfit was a blue bandana. So he was like, okay, I got you. I ain't going to wear it on my back. I'm just going to, you know, so it was just funny. And then Dr. Ava, you know,
well,
the whole
thing
of the Crip walk. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I just actually
awesome.
Went to a venue just to see the halftime on the big screen. That's all I needed to do. I just wanted to see that. But in a way, what was the part? So, but then the thing about it, though, Dr. Ava, when we go through this, though, there was a commentary about talking about, you know, you can go get out of your Rolls-Royce and step over homelessness, how they shifted the homeless community, and they raised maybe got a profit of $14 billion from the Super Bowl, which could end world hunger in one day. And it's just amazing the amount of money that was raised, even though in the midst of poverty, even though we want love what we saw, the other side is that we was able to sing and dance in some sense, which was a great Super Bowl halftime. At the same time, it doesn't address all of the NFL issues that's still there, and we're going to still hold the NFL accountable as it relates to the things related to black people. It's not about us just performing. You know, we want to make sure that the justice is right there. But also, I just wanted to close out on a couple of things. We haven't mentioned the issue of NDRE want to pull her music from Spotify, talking about Joe Rogan, who uses the term nigger and monkeys, white man that says it all the time, and nobody has a problem with him, but they had a problem with our sister Whoopi, where he says stuff that are directly derogatory, directly wrong. But, you know, but not necessarily, you know, want to deal with him and all this stuff that he does. And last, you know, and last with that, I wanted to just shout out Mike Epps before we get into the show. Mike Epps, the comedian, I was with him this past Saturday, and a brother that's with him, TC, me and him had a great conversation about prior to 75. We talked about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and after Mike got off the stage, we talked about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his time meeting with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and it was just a beautiful thing. I was just thankful to know that our brother loves the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So shout out to him. And, hey, it's Savior's Day, so I'm ready for the conversation, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. We're going to be getting into it momentarily. I do want to share with our beloved listeners that we had a marvelous event on Tuesday, the 15th. I was blessed to conduct a master class. This time the subject was keep your head above water, how to protect your peace. And that subject was not one that originated with me, but came as a result of one of our sisters who is responsible for teaching the women on the East Coast. She brought it to my attention through another sister who teaches the women on the East Coast, that there were many sisters in need of some help and upliftment in these troubled times. Simultaneously, one of my student ministers in the self-improvement course raised that issue with me about those who attend the class each Friday night via Zoom, the national class that's broadcast from Chicago. And almost without exception, someone always makes reference to having feelings of depression or sadness or anxiety or concern. And so that masterclass came out of that. And if you missed it, and it was for men and women, it was well attended. And if you missed it, you can visit MinisterAva.com and you can obtain your copy of the replay so that the notes can be taken. We had a very good question and answer period following my main presentation that I think you will find to be helpful no matter what you may be going through in these difficult times. Don't forget, we are undergoing a universal change. That is no small matter. The magnitude of what is happening right now, Satan's world going out, and the kingdom of God written of in the Bible, promised to us in the Holy Quran, in Holy Quran where Allah himself speaks, he promises judgment on the wicked and delivery into a paradise on earth for the righteous. And we are in that time. So don't be surprised if, no matter how much effort you're putting into doing everything right, that problems seem to continue to come up. And don't forget, as the Holy Quran teaches us, and the minister gave us a beautiful study guide in his course, Self-Improvement, the Basis for Community Development, in study guide number 3, it's entitled Overcoming Difficulty. And the Holy Quran reads, man is created to face difficulty. So it's not just coming up in your life randomly. You're created to face difficulty so that you can develop character and begin to move forward on your journey, yes, toward oneness with him. But let me not start going off talking. We have so much tonight, and we want to go next before we get into the main core of our program. We want to hear from our dear sister, attorney Pamela Muhammad, you know, who's also out of the Southwest region. That's a region that's replete with militant black Muslims who are also highly credentialed professionals. So, assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Well, like a salam, Sister Ava and Brother Terrence. And I just want to say, Sister Ava, all praises are due to Allah. You know, your words are just so magnificent. You know, we definitely give all praises to the God. And we're just a reflection of you, Sister Ava, and you, Brother Terrence, and, you know, all of the members of the nation. So thank you for your words. And tonight's topic that I wanted to talk about real fast is this ongoing federal hate crime trial that involves the murder, again, of our brother Ahmaud Arbery out of Brunswick, Georgia. And as we know, Travis McMichael, his father, Gregory McMichael, and their neighbor, William Bryan, they're now on trial in what you call a federal hate crime. And this hate crime is interesting because this is where you put race at the center of the motivating factor for the murder. You know, in a hate crime, you have to prove that race was the main motivator for the action. So in this indictment, according to an article I read in the New York Times, it claims that they chased and killed him because of Arbery's race and color. And so they have to, you know, pretty much prove that it's their racist views before February 20th, 2020, you know, where his murder took place, that they had these racist views and that it was a part of this. And so, Sister Ava, I just wanted to, you know, just kind of quote things. Some of the facts, as according to the newspaper, are that the federal prosecutors are trying to prove that these three, McMichaels and Rhodey, chased and killed Mr. Arbery because he was black. And as we say, they were indicted on a federal hate crime charge accusing them of interfering with Mr. Arbery's rights and profiling him and targeting him because of his race. They also, again, this jury in this case, I believe in this jury we have three blacks. There's one Hispanic and eight whites. And this jury is going to decide, you know, their fate. And it's interesting because in another article, February 13th article in the New York Times, they talked about this rise of reported hate crimes. And it says that anti-black hate crimes have risen the highest since 2008. In 2020, this is the highest recorded numbers of anti-black hate crimes. And pretty much a hate crime and is a criminal act. A federal hate crime is a criminal act committed based on race, religion, ethnicity, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity. And in this case, along with the chasing him down and targeting him because he's black, with the intent to injure, intimidate him based because of his race or color. They're also charged with kidnapping as well as brandishing firearms. And this particular trial does carry a life sentence as well. And I just wanted to also bring our attention to the prior state case where all three of them were convicted and tried and also given life sentences in the state court of Georgia, and they were given life sentences without the possibility of parole. It's my understanding that William Brody, according to the news articles, he would be eligible for parole after about 30 years. But the point I wanted to make about those state cases, Sister Ava, is that, you know, we talked many times about the case of Ahmaud Arbery, and as everybody knows, the state cases were on television, and you could watch them if you'd like, whereas these federal cases, they are not on television. And so these racist texts and all of these evidence of racism they say they have against these three defendants, we don't really get to see. But I think, you know, I just wanted to mention in closing, we talked a lot on your show about how they never raised the racism in the state court. They never raised the issues and the evidence of racism in the state court. And even though those acts were known at the time. And so, you know, I just think that's very interesting. And there are experts and pundits who are talking about the why, the you know, they didn't include the evidence of racism in the state court. But that's how, you know, they chose to do it. And, you know, some people say it was easier just to, you know, convict them of the act that resulted in his death. Remember, I think they weren't the intent. They didn't talk about the intent as much, you know, because racism now is bearing witness that racism was the intent you know, because this is what this hate crime case is showing. They murdered him because he was black. And so, you know, that's a case. I just wanted to put some of the issues out on the show as this is something that's in the news today. Yes, ma'am. So, assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Well, alaikum salam. That is very enlightening. We really appreciate that. And that's, you always bring that to the table. We hear terms. We hear about levels of the system of jurisprudence in this country. And, you know, as you say, and it, when we talk about these federal level hate crimes and the litigation, I think that's important for us to think over. They never televise the actual trials, the ones that take place on the federal level, or really provide any information helping us understand the distinction between the two levels. So we thank you for that, Sister Pamela, and look forward to you remaining part of the panel tonight. And so with that, we're going to turn the mic back over to Brother Terrence Muhammad to bring on our special guest and one that I consider a longtime colleague and friend, a student minister, Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad.
Well,
can you do it, Fiona?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You're the exciting half of this partnership.
You know, I'm just, so let me just say this. Like I said, when I was just with Mike Epps, and, you know, you see him in the movies, you see him on the stage and the comedians, but then just being back with him and having a conversation and just knowing how many people have love for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And what I didn't mention, Dr. Ava, that, yes, at Prodigy's funeral, the minister was with 50 Cent. When the minister spoke in Detroit, he was with Eminem. He's been with Mary J. Blige. You know, he's been with Snoop. I remember Snoop at the minister's dinner coming to Savior's Day in 09, and another year he was at Savior's Day. I remember Snoop being around and being, you know, a lover of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and also Kendrick Lamar came when we had the Justice or Else. So I'm just saying that you know, all of these people love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but greater than that, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan looks beyond our faults, no matter what we do or what we have done and where we may be found in our life. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, immeasurable love and on us and our culture and our people is insurmountable. So we started, for those that didn't know, last week we talked about, and the subject was the immeasurable love of and impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As you said, we have our guest on it, Student Minister Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad, the Southwest Student Regional Minister for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the 4-5, you know, Mosque number 45 in Houston, Texas. So I just want to bring him right on, and we thank him. I thank him for coming right on to the show. And I'm just going to jump right in it, Dr. Ava, and we're going to do a tag team between the both of you. And Dr. Lane, first, let me just give you the greeting. Assalamu alaikum. If you just want to introduce and say something before I go into this right question.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I first of all want to thank Almighty God, Allah, who came in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, His Exalted Christ, our Eternal Leader, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And, of course, I thank them both for not leaving us alone, believing in our midst, our brother, our servant, our friend, the Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I thank him for the opportunity to serve and not only work out my own salvation, but to work out the salvation of my seed. So I greet everyone on Blog Talk Radio and the elevated places. And, of course, Dr. Ava Muhammad and Sister Pamela, who I saw this past weekend, and you, Brother Terrence. Once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. So the Pam is in the background throwing up the 4-5.
That's right, 4-5. No, assalamu alaikum.
Yes,
sir. Yes. Good to hear.
So let's jump right in this powerful conversation, because I know time will run, because we always run out of time with these powerful conversations. So let me just start with this first question. And as I did last week, these things were not pre-scripted. We didn't let you know what we're going to ask ahead of time. And some of this is coming to me right now so we can get this interview of your thoughts and feelings about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So the first question is something I asked Dr. Ava. Speak on that which we talked about, the immeasurable love and impact of Minister Farrakhan as you see it. What does that mean to you when you hear the immeasurable love and impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Well, brother, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I kind of laughed. Immeasurable.
Mm.
If something's immeasurable, you can't quantify it. There's no way to measure it. And it's volume, and you can't even find a container, because there is no container when you can house that which is immeasurable. However, what can quantify it is impact. You know, yet it can be measured by the lives that have been transformed and the ongoing ripple effect that his life's work is having on the present generations and those yet to be born. So what's interesting, brother, is that you talk about immeasurable love. Man, look, before I ever knew who Minister Farrakhan was, I owed him a debt of gratitude. Let me tell you why. I share the same birth anniversary as my grandmother. We were very close while she was alive. And still today, I still hear her voice in my head. But she is the daughter of the survivor of the Wilmington Massacre of 1898, where the only coup d'etat ever took place on American soil in Wilmington, North Carolina, November 1898. She is the daughter of my great-grandparents who had to hide in the graveyard from the schemes and machinations of the white supremacist Jews and Gentiles in Wilmington, North Carolina. Go look up the history. We were very close. And she lived on 117th Street and 7th Avenue, or Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard is known today, where Mosque number 7, Temple number 7, was on 116th Street in Lenox, which is now known as Malcolm X Boulevard. While she lived there, brother, we would go shopping on 116th Street, and there wasn't no time. You had no Walmart. You didn't have no Kmart or anything like that. There were different shops you went to get your meat, get this, that, and the other. And I can't remember one time, even at the height of the heroin epidemic during the Vietnam War, anybody bothering my grandmother at all. Why? Because those stern men were on the corner selling that Muhammad Speaks newspaper. No crime in the area. Listen to what I'm saying, brother. When Minister Farrakhan was removed from New York and the Nation of Islam fell, my grandmother and her husband got mugged and beat up. We had to move them out of New York and move them to New Jersey. And I can point to her decline at that point because she a loss of independence. But while she lived around the corner from Mosque number 7, Temple number 7, brother, nobody bothered my beloved grandmother. I owed Minister Farrakhan before I even knew who he was.
Come on.
So I met Minister Farrakhan in 1976 at Hampton. I was a sophomore student, 19-year-old. And by that time, I had accepted Islam, but the Nation of Islam was no more. But I got to spend two days with him. And at that time, he hadn't had the thought, as he told me, of rebuilding the Nation of Islam. But he was searching. You could tell that he was struggling with the new leadership, trying to find a way to best represent what was happening. As long as they didn't denigrate the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you could tell he was wrestling with that. But nonetheless, I got a chance to spend 2 days with him. I got a chance to see him take a violin out of the hands of this young brother that was out of Chicago that was in my class named Michael. He took Michael's violin and he started playing Vivaldi's Violin Concerto for us. It was something, brother. He gave a two-hour speech. And then they kicked us out of Ogden Hall, and he walked with all of the students down to the student union and answered questions for another hour or so until they kicked us out of there. All right? The next day, he was trying to get a flight to Landover, Maryland, to see the Muhammad Ali, Jimmy Young fight, but he couldn't get a flight. And I remember him saying, I wonder why Allah doesn't want me there. And that's how I left him. And I left him at the hotel at that point, and I didn't see him again until he began to rebuild the Nation of Islam. And I saw him again in like 1984. He came to Houston. It was promoting. It was Power at Last Forever. And we began with trying to promote the power products and the people organizing, working for economic rebirth. And then, you know, again, all of these things took place. And as, again, I was there at Madison Square Garden when Imam, at that time, Supreme Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, came to New York. They shut down New York from the airport all the way to Madison Square Garden. I had never seen anything like that in my life, even then, the remnants of the Nation of Islam. And that was before they removed him out of New York. So I got to see his last major appearance in New York. And then after that, brother, I was there at Madison Square Garden, October 7, 1985. I was on the floor. My post was looking at the press while Minister gave that magnificent speech, man, where the people literally tore down the doors in Madison Square Garden in the Felt Forum to come see him after Ed Koch and all them told him, well, you know, don't come see Farrakhan. He's this, that, and the other. So what I'm saying is, brother, is that he's always been in and out of my life and around my life, or I've been in and out of his life. I don't know how to explain it. But the thing that makes this immeasurable love and impact relevant is that I'm right now doing grandfather duty. I was helping my third grade grandson with his homework. Now, I want you to know, brother, that many of my contemporaries, man, have been buried or in jail or dead that I grew up with either in New York or went to school with, et cetera. But I'm here with my grandchildren, you know, my grandchildren. I want you to think about that, helping them with their homework, brother. I see my future. So that's why I started by saying my seed. So you talk about something that the impact of it, this is a ripple effect that people don't even know. This is what the Hannitys, the Sean Hannitys, and the Tucker Carlsons and these Fox News conservative con men don't know, don't realize about Minister Farrakhan. It's what these liberal liars don't realize about Minister Farrakhan. These moderate myth makers don't realize about Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan has touched every profession from the streets to the suites, the black doctors, the black lawyers, the black accountants, the black dentists, the masons, the shriners, the hip-hop artists, R&B, you name it, Minister Farrakhan has touched all of them, and that's why they're pulling their hair out their head, and their hair's on fire, because every time they look up, somebody's either praising the minister or has been seen in a picture with the minister or something along that line. So Sister Minister Ava, when she kicks in, brother, and we start talking about the self-improvement study guide, the minister's sunnah, that's his sunnah. I'm going to tell you, hear me, that is his sunnah. I'm telling you white folks that listen in today, you're never going to get rid of Farrakhan. He's down into our babies. He's in our genetic structure. You're never going to get rid of Farrakhan. And I say this to the so-called conservatives. Trust and believe, though we don't think as your founding fathers did or the founding fathers of the Republic of Texas. However, we have the human desire of freedom, justice, and equality as they did. Whatever their motives were, it may not be the same as ours. But ours is to have freedom, justice, and equality. And since we can't get it in your social, political, and economic construct, we want some of this earth we can call our own. We got that same mindset that those 56 white male property owners that signed the Declaration of Independence, we got the same mindset as those 39 white male property owners that signed the Constitution of the United States on September 17, 1787. I'm telling you right now, beloved, we are just through with y'all because you don't You will never give us freedom, justice, and equality. We don't trust liberal liars, conservative con men, nor moderate myth makers. Okay, I'll stop.
No, you can't.
No. Man, he just set it off, Dr. Ava. He just set it off, and man, I want you to jump in, Dr. Ava, but I want to touch on something that's very significant. Both of you all, and for those that have never heard, or those that do know, we got to go back and watch the address from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at Madison Square Garden, because last week, Brother Abdul Halim, we talked about Madison Square Garden. Dr. Ava talked about the mosque in Chicago before him defending Jesse Jackson and what happened. And we talked about Madison Square Garden was a pivotal event in launching on the mainstream as well as defending Jesse Jackson in this movement of the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam and putting it out there publicly. But it's very beautiful to hear your story of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at Hampton University, and I will throw some shots at you, Aggie Pride all day. Aggie Pride, just have to throw that shot in there. You already know, HBCU.
That's what it is.
But, no, I will ask this before I bring Dr. Ava in. Can you tell us, you know, because you gave – a history of Minister Farrakhan that most folks, it's not written down or people don't know. Can you give us some more in your early days of the rebuilding or your early days in coming into the Nation of Islam and seeing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his work? Because one of the things we also talked about last week, that he's always teaching. Like you just said, he took the students down to the student union, walked with them, and answered more questions. He's always teaching.
Brother, I'll say this, and Sister Dr. Abel will bear me witness. Mr. Farrakhan's the same in private as he is in public.
Yeah,
and he is a man with impeccable character. You understand?
Sure.
And the thing about Mr. Farrakhan is this, you know, those critics who may be listening, the looky-loos that are looking and listening and looking for some chink in his armor. Let me say this to you all. Mr. Farrakhan is not a man that asks us for money. He mortgaged his own house to get the final call. He never asked us for nothing. The honorarium for the colleges and the speeches that he gave. He bought the books from Dr. Salam of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He never asked us for anything. The first time he really asked us for something was in the repurchase of Mosque Marianne. And let me give you the history of that, too. When Brother Leonard Farrakhan signed the contract with the Imam's representative, Minister Farrakhan was in Houston at our old building called Brandon Street. This was in the late 80s, man, I think 87, 88. It was like that. He was in that building when he announced, I just want to announce to you all that my son-in-law, Chief of Staff, Leonard Farrakhan, has signed the contract. And he said for $2.3 million, was it, Sister Ava, $2.3 million. He said, and I want to let you know, we ain't got no money. And then fast forward, them people wanted cash. They wasn't no finance. They wasn't trying to hear that. They wanted cash. The only time I really seen the minister raise some money was like July 3rd, 1988. We were at the Final Call building. Man, we were trying to raise $275,000. Man, believers was floating checks from the third floor. Man, it was the most beautiful thing you ever wanted to see. Oh my God. So these kind of experiences that you have with the minister, just thinking about the blessings that have poured forth from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I mean, you really have to think about this man's immeasurable love, brother. He comes from Stop the Killing Tour, Men's Only, which morphed into the Million Man March.
Yeah,
then he comes back with the Million Family March. He comes back with the Millions More Movement so that he could bring together all of the if you will, cadres of black thought and black leadership. He goes on these world tours. He connected us to all of these countries around the world who still are waiting for us and know and waiting for us to manifest ourselves. But we have to manifest ourselves with his character. We can't go there with
That's
a Negro
right.
mindset
right.
and a bow tie and a headpiece. We have to be like Farrakhan. We can't be bought,
right.
sold. We cannot be going there with a hat in our hand. We can come with the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we have. And for that, there can be a fair exchange. You think about him going over there with Dr. Sullivan in the African-American summits that Dr. I think it's Leon Sullivan was his name. You
yes.
think about the minister, brother, his delegation was the only from the diaspora that were at the meeting where the Organization of African Unity became the African Union. So when people be talking about minister ain't pan-African enough, man, come on, man. He took us down there to Jamaica, the 19th anniversary of the Million Man March. He laid
come
a
on.
Wreath at Marcus Garvey's grave and all the great ones that come out of the West Indies. Man, come on, man. Anyway, okay, I'm going to calm down. You think about the gang summits that the minister spoke with. You think about the hip-hop and R&B artists that he's the – And then think about the violin concertos that he put on. Oh, my goodness. What a man. What a man. They don't know how to handle him. And in truth, I don't care that they don't know how to handle him. And then lastly, I think about he's done them a favor. So, David, you know, people are really, if they be honest, and I think they're being honest in your master classes and what led you to inspire you to do these master classes is when they hear the minister say swan song and then they went and defined it, there's
mm-hmm.
some anxiety there. We have to be honest. There's some anxiety there. But I'm
that's,
saying to the white
right.
folk that's listening on it, I'm saying to the white folk that's listening to us, you should be anxious because when Farrakhan shuts his mouth, you watch our God go to work. It's your swan song. That's
oh,
what
yeah.
you don't understand.
Yeah.
It's not his, it's your swan song. Because he's at a phase right now where he don't need to make any more pronouncements. What else he needs to say? But okay, I told you. Here's a wrap-up of everything I've been telling you all these years. Here's the torchlight for America. I tried to give it to you with the gentle word that the Holy Quran talks about. I tried to give it to you. You didn't listen. I tried to tell you about the unraveling of great nation, but you didn't listen. Now you're looking at this thing, and this thing is in total chaos. They can't do anything right. And now the divine destruction of America is coming right in front of our face. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad never said that America and the USSR was going to fight. He said America and Russia was going to fight. What do you think's going
what
on over there in Ukraine? So everything that come out, every divine utterance that come out of the mouth of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his faithful minister, their lips, their tongues, and their pens are not made to speak or write idle words. Everything they said will come to bear. You know, the scripture says that his mercy endures forever, but his grace doesn't. You don't pay your car note in them 10 days, you're going to get a late fee or the reprimand's coming to pick it up. I'm sorry, Sir Dave, I'm just, you know how I get.
Stop apologizing. This is why we brought you on, because it was guaranteed to be, you know, as I said, you are the quintessential guest, because you combine, as I said, an encyclopedic knowledge with the ability to engage. You know, you have people that are very engaging, but they're surface dwellers. They're just shallow. So. They're not saying anything. They're entertaining, but they're not saying anything. Then you have people who are very deep and encyclopedic, but you want to go to sleep. But you bring together the two. We could listen all night. This is phenomenal.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, also in that, because as you list things, it brings them back to my mind. But before I can really bask in it, you've dropped something else. This man is utterly amazing, this Farrakhan, this man.
Oh,
I mean, everything from his name. I don't know how in 2022 in the face of irrefutable evidence now. We have to accept this is the Jesus, this is the Messiah of Scripture. He satisfies every trait, every action, and the same enemies that the prophetic Jesus of the Bible had. To a T, no one comes close. No one comes close to being in a league with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you're just bringing to bear, we had some beautiful testimony last week also, and each person that calls in and describes something, you're like, oh my God, I forgot he did that too. You know, one sister reminded us that he sent our youth to Cuba.
That's
and they
right.
came back MDs. Okay.
Listen, that's right.
And regardless to what this wicked country says, Cuba is one of the most esteemed. They have one of the most esteemed, effective healthcare systems in the world.
That's right.
And we would have been done with this epidemic before it started if
that's
this
right.
demon had not interfered. And that's, as you're saying, Brother Minister Halim, they're in for it. They are in worse trouble than we can imagine. And if we think we're in trouble, and we are, when the minister's presence is not no longer here, it is the white folks who should be trembling in their booth, and some of them are. And the minister told them in the criterion, my presence is a mercy to you.
That's right. That's true. And you know, mm-hmm. I don't mind, since they spy on us anyway, you know, I don't mind giving them a little taste of what they heard, and maybe they forgot.
Come
See,
on.
When the minister goes to the Father, they have to understand that his disciples will become apostles.
Ooh.
And where he is, he'll be feeding us. If
yes.
you think we're profound now, they already tried to clock about 10 of us if they ever, you know, the ADL, they put us on a watch list or whatever.
That. Yeah.
And I was so happy. Yeah. I said, damn, I made the big time. Oh, I made the big time.
Oh, yeah.
Because they hated
me.
Because
you made it.
Man, I said, I made it. Woo! You know, so, and the truth of the matter is, sister, they don't even know. They can't really see the stars because the sun is out.
Right.
But I say to each and every one of us that the stars will justify you and I holding on until the sun rises again. So don't lose hope, dear believers. The darkness is not for us. The darkness is closing
exactly.
out of this world. There's an old world going out. There's a new world coming in. And one thing has to die for another thing to be born. So, yeah, everything you try in business and politics and all this, it's going to be messy because this whole thing is shaky. So believers, don't get too frustrated. You're going to have fits and starts because you're in a transition where this is a transitory life. We're
right.
going towards the hereafter, but we experience the
Come
reason
on.
Why we have such joy, the reason why we look forward to going to Savior's Day, the reason why we look forward to hearing the keynote of the minister, the workshops, and, of course, the drill competition, is because when the enemy looks over the Internet and those who are in psychological ops and they see our girls – and our young boys drilling, they know they didn't make that. They know they in trouble. And when we create virtuous, militant, intelligent, beautiful black girls and women, he know his world is over because they're going to produce beautiful, militant, intelligent black children who got a mindset that they love Minister Farrakhan. They know this. and they understand clearly what they're up against. So their genocidal plot that's on their mind is masked in what they're trying to do to all of our people, because they're intending to come for us. But the way they're going to do it, they're going to try to get to us through our families and through our friends and through those who are in fear and doubt and don't know which way to turn. So even though we may be fortified, even though we may be holding on to what the minister said in the criteria, they know that they've been working on our families and all of that. There's an Ohio State study that came out and said that the vaccine hesitancy is lessening in the black community. I don't believe it. But this is what they said, because when they started explaining it, they started talking about some maybes and all that. They couldn't explain why. They don't know why. So, you know, these people, you know, one thing I learned about in grad school, Sister Dr. Ava, was that they're, you know, they are lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics. You know, and I'll give you a good example.
Oh, yeah.
A good example would be in the secret relationship between blacks and Jews. In secret relationship between blacks and Jews, it was proven mathematically that 70% of Jews own slaves. But this is how they lied with statistics. They said that the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, we said that 70% of the slave owners were Jews. See what I'm saying? Wicked.
Right. Right.
Wicked. Wicked. See, that's how you twist things. And they give, man, we quoted Dr. Howard Brackman in the document saying that they were involved in the slave trade. Then he tried to backtrack and wrote a little pamphlet trying to refute all of those thousands of annotated footnotes that we had documented on them. And the thing that was funny about it, they honored him when he died as being one who pushed back on that. They can't push back on that. They know that they invented Hollywood because they didn't like they. Yeah, they know they invented Hollywood and made an empire of their own because the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants were misrepresenting them in the moving picture industry, the Thomas Edisons and others. So they went out to Hollywood to fix that. They know that. So even the conservatives with their phony behind, well, one day executive committee is going to give some of us permission to go and tear that backside up on Fox News. Because I really don't like these hypocrite conservatives. They're not Milton Friedman economic conservatives. They're not William F. Buckley Jr. conservatives. They're not Barry Goldwater conscious of a conservative. They are con men under the guise of conservatism. And they believe in the corporatocracy and robbing and taking advantage of these ignorant 85% white people. They're just wicked.
That's right,
and I know that Sister Ava, in your study of the Constitution, you know doggone well that these moderates. Hell, I don't trust a moderate either. What did the moderate do? The moderate is the one that came up with the 3/5 compromise, the Connecticut plan. You know that we got counted, we didn't really get counted. It was the white people got added a 3/5 of a person to one free white man so that they could vote. And that's why out of the first 5 presidents, 4 of them were Virginia. Out of the first 12 presidents, 7 were from Virginia, 9 were from the South. Because that's how they did it. They didn't have a lot of free white men there. But counting us as putting 3/5 of a person on a white man made them powerful and control the government literally all the way through to about the 13th president. You know? And you don't trust the moderates? The moderates came up with the Fugitive Slave Acts. The moderates came up with the Missouri Compromise. The moderates came up with the Nebraska-Kansas Act, trying to hold this thing together before the Civil War broke out. I don't trust none of them. And the liberals, please, the Clintons were the masters of triangulation. And I'm really disappointed. And I have to we have to take the spirit of our minister, Wood, in spanking our sister Loretta Lynch. How in the God name could she be defending the NFL? And black people was happy that she was an attorney general for a minute. And she's defending the NFL, and then come to find out, according to what I read, hell, she was defending McDonald's against some black McDonald owners or something like that. So this is how she rolls anyway. So I, so The Clintons triangulated the neoliberals is just as bad as anybody else. And you looked at him, he did welfare reform, he signed the crime bill, he balanced the budget on the poor people's backs. Man, look here. You know, I'm through with all of them. This system is corrupt from top to bottom. And right now it's getting ready to fall apart because all that they had set up their checks and balances are no longer checking and it ain't balanced. I'm sorry. No, let me stop apologizing. I'm happy that I'm on.
For being
that, I'm happy I'm more elevated place. No, I'm just so fired up. You know how I get when I'm with you, sis. Sister Ava, you know how I get when I'm with you and my goddaughters and you and my family. You know I love y'all, and I get around you, and it's like if you and me was in the club and a fight broke out, we'd be back-to-back swinging until we got outside. I'm telling you, that's the way. If I got to go to battle with somebody, I want to go to battle with Sister Ava. I'm telling you right now.
Same here.
So, you know, Minister Farrakhan has put in us the mindset that we can't be misogynists. He is a man that talks about women and brought back the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're not going to find this anywhere that the woman, the black woman, is the second self of God. Where you heard that? I ain't heard that taught nowhere. Nowhere.
Ever.
That is part of our theology. The black woman is the second self of God, the first act of his creation other than himself. Where is that taught? How can these conservatives? These conservatives are trying to hang us around the liberal neck. See, they trying to make Minister Farrakhan's name like the anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan, like that's his name. And they try to hang us around the conservative Jews and whites try to hang us around the liberals' neck. But how are we liberal when we're pro-life? We were pro-life. If you ever see the conservative evangelical film called Maiafa 21, they mention the Nation of Islam being against abortion and birth control before the evangelicals ever caught on with that crap.
That's right.
So we're pro school choice. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to jail for taking his children out of the public school. So how are you going to hang us up? We want to, Minister called for in the Torchlight for America a balanced budget. So how are you saying that we're tax and spend liberals? Come on, we could just bust that all up. So we're none of, don't try to put Minister Farrakhan and us in no kind of box. We don't fit none of them boxes. In fact, there is no box
That's
for
right.
the Nation of Islam. And our progress will be unlimited as soon as – but God can't reveal the new teaching as long as they're in power. So their power has to be broken. Just y'all prepare now to follow some black leadership. I know it's going to be hard for y'all because we've seen how you acted with Barack Obama. But you either submit to the God of the new heaven and the new earth, or you just got to go. And I take Sister Ava's mindset. You know, when I stop thinking about them, they don't even exist. I just keep moving. Muhammad, you can't
That's
do
right.
that. Who said? Who said we can't do that? Shoot, please.
That's right.
Anyway, you know, so I just thank you for the opportunity to witness, get on the witness stand about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and how I see us going forward in the future. So we need not fear the future. We need not fear, brother and sister, the future is ours. The future is ours.
Thus saith the Lord. That's right. And let me
Amen.
Say this too. Backing up to your point, which is so important about the seed being dropped about vaccine hesitancy is going away. No, they're going away. Okay, but vaccine hesitancy has become vaccine certainty. Okay, Kyrie Irving, who has held out with strength throughout this whole madness and taken consistent hits from Uncle Tom Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, and you know, there's nothing worse than a Negro house servant imp because they are more emotionally invested in the white man's world than the white man is. you remember, you know, Samuel Jackson's character, Stephen, in Django. What's that nigga doing on that nag? He was so obsessed. He almost had a heart attack. Okay. So they pay Stephen a few million, you know, 12 million a year, whatever he makes, to attack black men. Okay. And so here's this young brother, this superstar NBA player, Kyrie Irving, who says, I will not be vaccinated ever. It's not happening. Okay. This is my body. Now, a white woman can say, oh, I laid down with a few men and it's just not convenient. I mean, they say things like that. It's not feasible at this time for me to have a baby. I mean, it was feasible for you to lay down with somebody, but you have no right to make me carry this child. Now, that's another life. As the minister said, yes, you have complete control of your body prior to producing a new life. But once a new life begins to grow, that life belongs to Allah. Because first of all, you didn't produce that life by yourself. So now there's two other parties now, the father and the child. But you'll stand up and get all kinds of support on that. But Kyrie Irving can't say, no, I'm not going to let you inject an experimental product into my body. And so he took the heat for months, and now things are turning around. So today, this Jew that heads the NBA, the commissioner, Adam Silver. Yeah, now he's challenging or questioning the vaccine mandate that keeps Kyrie Irving off the court when they're at home in Brooklyn. But look at what Kyrie Irving said one of the last times he was at a press conference. He told those people, you don't need to keep asking me about this vaccine because I am rooted in my decision. I said, there's a Farrakhan, baby. Okay.
There you go.
You know, when you see these young black people, male and female, watch the way they handle themselves. Watch the certainty and strength with which they speak. And see, this is one of the reasons they are suffering from various emotional disturbances is they're not supposed to be living in this type of reality. They weren't born to live under the rule of the Caucasian. And they're here because of our slowness to carry out the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Point number four. There's only one solution, and it is the best solution to this problem. Our cover story this week. 22-year-old beautiful young black man gunned down in his cousin's living room sleeping on the sofa. There is no refuge from them. And you just said it, Brother Minister, that about this world, the power of Satan has to be broken. But what's going to break it is when we pull out from under him.
Right.
And the foundation disappears. They'll just crumble. They're already unraveled, as the minister called it in 2020, at Savior's Day. He called it, and 2 weeks later, COVID-19, America's on lockdown and has just been running into various stages of madness since then and is never coming out of this. Negroes who pray for return to normal, you just go on and go to hell or stay in hell with them. Because, no, we're not returning to nothing, okay? We're going to continue to move forward. But that's what's going to break the back. And as you said, here's Minister Farrakhan helping you in your life before you ever knew who he was. That is such powerful testimony.
That's
the best.
When you talk about God. Go ahead, sister.
We got to start letting the callers weigh in because they start getting, you know, they want to weigh in with you.
I look forward to it, sister Ava.
And before you go to the caller, Dr. Ava. And I was just going to jump in before he does. Before we go to the caller, I did want to just really point out that something Brother Abdul Halim did say that I don't want us to brush over. That is very, very powerful. As he was going through the history, he did, you know, we got to remember that the enemy did point out some of the beautiful stars in our nation. You know, they are recognizing and they're knowing who are putting out this word and representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And like you said, in the scriptures, we should not worry because we have good leadership. And like you said, those that are walking with the Messiah, once he ascends, they become apostles. And I don't think people remember if you was a child in a church and you had your Bible that showed the picture of the disciples in that room and the Spirit came upon them and they had like a little fire over their head. That's a childhood memory I remember. So they had a little fire.
Yes,
so if y'all think y'all hearing some fire tonight, man. So I just want people to be very clear. We going to be okay. Like Kendrick Lamar said, we going to be all right.
There you go.
That's right.
You know, it's just like opening up a can of peanut butter and getting a whiff of gist. We're just giving the world a whiff of gist. Go ahead, just take a little sniff, and we're going to screw the cap back on because we're waiting to hear from the Messiah himself, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, swan song. Y'all stop being all nervous and falling. His swan song, what are we going to do? It reminds me today, but if I may, before we go to the callers, it was 2006, it was year one after Katrina, and we were in New Orleans doing a program called Hands Around the Dome, and God bless our people, they're a little disorganized, and there was this prominent black woman, I won't say her name on this thing, but because she is a friend of the nation, but you know, she said something, and I kind of looked at her and responded. She said, Lord have mercy. What are we going to do when the minister's not you? She was complaining about disorganization. Listen to the words. He said, Lord have mercy. What are we going to do when the minister's no longer with us? I said, sister, who you think? No, Lord help us. She said, Lord help, excuse me. She said, Lord help us when the minister's no longer here. I said, sister, who you think been helping us up to this point?
Well, hello.
That's what Mr. Farrakhan has taught us to do. See, Mr. Farrakhan is not interested in a charismatic character cult. So those of you who are planning to try to make us break apart, attack us from the outside, on the inside, understand that Mr. Farrakhan has taken his disciples and he's given all of them a little slice of bread. And when he's gone, it's going to force us to come together and share those slices of bread so that we can feed the sheep the whole loaf that we all got. He just put it strategically in different places. The enemy recognizes that. And I'm trying to tell you, dear believers, I'm trying to fortify and strengthen you. It's going to be all right. We're going to go through something, but we got to go through it in order to rule. Open up the phone line.
As he has gone through it. That's right. And his teacher and father went through it.
Yeah.
Amen. Beautiful.
Yeah, you know, he said, if you be my disciple, you know, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me.
Come on.
Pick up your cross. Come on.
I don't know what my cross is exactly, but I'm going to pick up something. I'm going to pick up something. I'm going to have some splinters in my backside, but I intend to be with him on them things for marching in. Praise be to Allah.
Wow.
Praise be to Allah. Now, I do have some news. Some of you may have been made aware already, but today we lost the senior editor of the Final Call newspaper, Brother Askia Muhammad. And it's not clear yet what the actual cause of death is. He was not feeling well. And, of course, our dear brother Jamil Muhammad was going over to see him. But earlier today, he was talking on the phone to people and discussing what he should do. But then he said his breathing became labored. But I don't know the facts. But I do know that this is a beautiful human being, a soldier. He was the first registered Muslim to be appointed as editor of Muhammad Speaks as a very young man under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you know our history, when Muhammad Speaks was first published, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad reached into the other independent black newspapers and brought the journalists, the editorial staff, et cetera, from the other media outlets, because we didn't have that type of training, and we didn't have those kinds of credentials in the nation. And I think that too speaks volumes about understanding what nation is. He never hesitated, as Minister Farrakhan never hesitates, to go beyond the confines of the registered body of Muslims. And remember, in your constitution, the lost found nation of Islam in the West is made up of two groups, registered and unregistered, but all are members of the lost found nation of Islam in the West. So we thank Allah for the life of Brother Askia Muhammad, our senior editor of the Final Call newspaper, and I'm sure we'll learn more very soon.
Ameen.
So thank you, and ameen. May Allah be pleased with this soldier. I love Muslims who were with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and came, submitted themselves to the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and accepted the choice of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It just made, that is a special group of people for me.
That's right. So I'm with you on that, Sister
Ava. Yes,
I try to tell people,
yes,
you
sir.
Know. I accepted, you know, when I finally decided I wanted to be a Muslim was in my sophomore year, I mean, the end of my freshman year in college, which was 74, my first semester, 74. And I was still twixt in between because I signed up for a platoon leadership corps with the Marine Corps where they would have paid my way through law school. I went home that second semester summer. Of course, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed. So in the summer of 75, the spring of 75, I said, okay, well, either I'm going to Quantico, Virginia for this boot camp. But Hampton didn't send my transcript in time. So I wound up going back to South Jersey, where my mother had moved, and I wound up joining Temple No. 10. That's how Allah works. And so I was there watching the house burn down. I can tell you about people losing their minds, the women taking off their garments, families breaking up, loss of the businesses, all of that. What I came to the nation for is what I saw, experienced of the Muslim businesses, the nation at its zenith. I said, man, they're the last ones standing. The Panthers are gone. Everybody gone. But the nation. And then I watched all of it go away. And some of us are just born to make sure that that history doesn't repeat itself. And we thank Allah for their skiers and the others who walk with the minister, mm-hmm. whether it be Brother Wazir or Brother Abdul Allah, Brother Rahman, and others. We thank and Mother Tanetta. We thank Allah for all of them who stood and were companions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And any that I may have forgotten, blame it on my head, not my heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Well, all right, callers, here we come. And we're going to start it. Prepare yourself. Brace yourself. EP team, buckle up. Special guest, buckle up, because we got Sister Ula out of Detroit with a comment. All right, we're ready, sister. Happy Savior's Day. Sister Ula, are you there?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Sister Ula.
Okay.
Brother Halim, Sister Ula has stated on the air that my voice tends to put her to sleep. So if we don't get to her, in time, she may be soundly asleep. So this,
she don't need Shaman X, man. She just needs, we just need Ava X, you know?
I'm like, am I that boring? Okay.
Oh, no.
I usually go to sleep with something boring.
No,
okay, so that's
right,
what
right.
No,
you have a unique voice, the way Allah has humbled you in your mother's womb and your experience. You can go from being like almost like so motherly, so feminine, to where you're almost like you told me that you're from the womb of the queen of outrage. you could go 0 to 60 on us in a minute. But
come
you,
on,
but
teach
you,
on that. Teach
when you're
on
talking
that.
To us, when you go on, you go now, beloved, and you start talking like that. I mean, a person will calm down and they will really be fortified and inspired to go forward towards the gunfire, towards the cannon fire, instead of running away from it. You know, so that's, I mean, you know, Sister Ava, let me put it out there for everybody in the nation. The minister said in one of the study guides that envy would plunge the nation in the dark. And I simply
yes.
put on a record. I want to put this on the record right now, that there will
but
be no envy in the nation if we look for God. If I see God in my sister and my brother, there's no room for envy.
That's right.
Because blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So I see God in you. I see God in Terrence, even though he's an Aggie. I see God yeah. in him. I see God in Sister Pamela. I see God in him. And we have to look past. Sometimes we get caught up on our humanity and we miss our divinity. We know there's only one God. We know he's the supreme being. But I'll be darned if I'm going to miss what he's put in each and every one who has come to this. We didn't choose ourselves. We were chosen. We were predestined to walk with this man. Think about it. We're born in the time of the Mahdi, the Messiah, the coming of God. Woo!
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Right. Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to go to Brother Hoyle, our top fisherman out of Memphis.
As-salamu alaykum. Oh, praise
you. Wa alaykum
as-salam. Great, beautiful show. And beautiful. Thank you for having Student Minister Dr. Aleem. On brother, I want to thank you for your beautiful your article in the latest Final Call, Unraveling of a Great Nation: Consequences of Rejecting Torchlight for America. I advise everybody.
Praise you, brother.
to study that. And on the top of what I wanted to say is, may Allah be pleased with our brother, Brother Askia Muhammad. He was a Facebook friend of mine, and Brother Jamil, and they had a talk show, a jazz show.
Oh, I love
that. They did. The brother did excellent articles in the paper. He was a Washington correspondent for Washington, D.C. And may Allah be pleased with him. But Student Halim, you have a great talk show, Connecting the Dots. I want to congratulate you on that and keep up the good work on that. I listen to you all the time on that. And I just want to tell people about this beautiful show. This past few days ago, I was in your master class, Dave. I know you're shocked to see me. Beautiful class. Family, get on her classes. Register for her books and classes. You don't know what you're missing. And like you're right, student minister, Dr. Ali. She can go to, she's a sister built for Minister Farrakhan. You too, Brother Dr. Aleem. You're doing excellent work in the Houston area, and all of us are. And I love what you said about envy. If we see, all of us are from God. If we look at Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when you see our brother and sister, you're looking at God. So why would we envy? Each one of us has God. God has gave us a quality. So, and once we, uproot that, because envy is it causes murder, and we don't need that. We can't build a kingdom of God with that. So I thank you for those wise words. And this latest paper, sister, I sent Brother Terrence this, and I'm going to let somebody else talk. It was, y'all got to read this, and this was so powerful. It talked about how these hospitals, Sister Ava, kill people. It said hospitals paid big bucks to kill us. It talks about the CARES Act. I sent it to Brother Terrence, and it talked about the CARES Act provides bonuses to hospitals whenever people have diagnoses of COVID. Number two, the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patient Bill of Rights. This is a deadly combination. Hospitals get a payment because they give free COVID tests in the emergency room. They get a boosted payment if they get a diagnosis of COVID. Three, hospitals get another bonus payment if the patient is admitted with COVID. Four, hospitals get another bonus payment if they put on remdesivir. Five, another bonus payment for hospitals if the patients are put on mechanical ventilators. Six, another 20% bonus payment if the dead patient diagnosis is marked as COVID, even though the patient might not have died from COVID. Seven, there are also bonus payments to coroners. Woo! I'm going to let somebody else talk. Get this final call, family, and keep up the good work.
That's on page 11.
Yes, ma'am.
That's on.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for that, Brother Hoyle, because gives me a chance to mention and lift up. In the COVID section, we have a section within a section called Depopulation Briefs, because there is so much information to confirm what Minister Farrakhan has been warning us and really been relentless, particularly from 2013 in the Time and What Must Be Done series. We can't, the minister's like a one-man Motown roster. If our lives depended on it, we couldn't sit here and name all the hits from Motown and all the artists. Let's be real.
Yes, ma'am.
We couldn't do
That's
it.
Right. Uh-huh.
So you can't list the accomplishments and achievements. This man puts out things that one individual might devote a lifetime to doing.
That's right.
The Time and What Must Be Done.
Some
of the things he has done are so profound that they go unnoticed because The mind of the people is so dead and limited, they can't process it. They can't process it. And I'll just tell you this quickly. We have an explosive interview in the final call this week with Dr. Christina Parks, Sister Charlene Muhammad.
That's right.
Got
that's right. That's right.
Woman here.
Yes, ma'am.
If you made the minister a female with a degree in cellular biology, this would be him. This woman here. This woman represents the teaching so effectively. I'm just going to lift a quote from her that we had. All you need in this day and age is your Final Call newspaper. You will be formidable if you bother to read it. We told you last year that these swab tests, A, don't pick up COVID, and B, they have carcinogens on the tip. Now, John Hopkins University just admitted that you can get the vaccine. They said there is some vaccine in the test.
Mm-hmm.
The council just issued a warning to the nation about these home tests that Biden and his demon army are sending to your house. Wake up and smell the coffee. But look at what Dr. Christina Parks, and she's been removed from YouTube.
That's right.
But she testified in front of the Michigan legislature, and we've got video clips of what she has to say on masks, on tests, on the vaccine. But look at this quote. And this is on page 8 of the Final Call newspaper that's out right now. Quote, the science clearly shows that this, meaning the vaccine, is going to be a mass depopulation event. How big or small, I don't know. I know that God is in control. And so whatever their intentions are comes up against what his intentions are. Okay?
Wow. Wow. All praise to you to
and
Allah.
She is an answer to Minister Farrakhan's call, July 4th, 2020, for our scientists. Because we've had a lot of scientists, but the operative word is our scientists.
Our scientists.
This is one of us. And she's got mad credentials.
That's right.
If you see her on YouTube at these hearings, she obliterates these devils. And she's like the minister in her verbal communication. No, you know, none of that. Bam,
right.
bam. You know how the minister talks, Brother Minister? He speaks like somebody, like people write, like it's been edited.
Yeah,
but it just
I've heard you say that, you know. You dictate your self-improvement study, guys, and all you got to do is really, you know, is put a comma there, Brother Lister, maybe just a semicolon about it. I mean, he talks the way people write. You're correct. You just transcribe his speeches. Transcribe his speeches and take out the applause, and you've got volumes of books.
You got your books. It's ready for print, ready for publication.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, Brother Hoyle, you made me remember that. And also there is an forever and ever, there's an article by Brother Minister Jibril Muhammad in the Farrakhan, the Traveler series. You know, mm-hmm. now this is another unsung hero who, along with Mother Tineta Muhammad, she constantly giving us keys to maneuver our way through this. See, we're in a time now, you have to have, and I think I mentioned this in the class Tuesday, Brother Hoyle. You remember Minister Farrakhan said in the Criterion, I have insight. He said that of himself. I have insight. And that means, and he has divine insight. And so insight is your ability to see into something. Beyond the surface, you can see into it.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, like Superman has the power to see. Mm-hmm. Original people have that power. We just can't access it because we're rebels. We're disobedient. Minister Farrakhan has divine insight. He sees into the nature of a thing. So it's easy for him to say, before the vaccine ever came out, that it's death.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to have a degree in virology. He didn't have to go in a lab. God said it through him, and he'll say it through us. We have the ability to see what he sees. His ability is available to us. That's why Allah has him among us. Allah is Christ. He's here. See, once he's not here, we lose the opportunity that has been offered to us, and that is to have the same ability. But we have the millions of words. But if you think we're going to be doing this another 20 years, you're just playing games with yourself.
Right.
The way right. things have happened. Don't you see the closing of the mosque? And not hearing from him except on occasion. And this is the first time he's given a full-fledged message in person since February 2020. We have to process the degree of mercy. And the minister told us, he said, at one point, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, at one point, Master Farid Muhammad wanted to kill us.
Wow.
Kill all of them.
Come on.
God wanted to kill us. The one who loves us infinitely. Because that's what will drive you to.
That's
and
right.
the messenger.
That's right.
Who styled as a, that's why he's styled as a woman, because he has the maternal instinct and love, invincible love that a woman has for her child. And he begged Master Farid Muhammad for time, and he came out with a book. The title of the book is Message to the Black Man.
Come on.
Wow. Also, Sister Ava, the study guides.
The study guides.
Right.
1986, December 12th, 12/12/86. He comes out with the study course, self-improvement. The process of resurrection, not dead bodies coming up out of cemeteries, but the rise of the spiritually and mentally dead. The price has been paid by our ancestors. For 400 years of suffering, followed by another century of lynching, and now even on our cover, 22 years old, Amir Locke. Look at the name, Amir. Prince. Mm-hmm. That's my 6-year-old Prince. Grandson's name.
That's my son's name.
Laying on the, you're what?
I have a son named Lamir. And I spoke,
that's right.
And this is a quick side note, Sister Minister.
Yes,
I spoke
sir.
To Andre last night, Amir's father. I spoke to him last night and gave him greetings from the minister, support from the nation, and our prayers. And he said,
cool.
Well, you know, I love the minister. He said, I love
praise
the minister. I love the minister. And he said, hey, I'm from Chicago, man. I know. He thanked us for the coverage in the final quarter, you know? Yeah. I had a chance to speak to him last night at my home.
We can't take many more of these losses. Because, see, now we're right back in front of the guillotine of God. See, right back. And it's all about obedience. All we have to do is obey him. And how do we obey him? Go on the back page of the Final Call newspaper and do what's there.
That's right.
And I'm talking to me too, because we're not moving quick enough. We're moving too slow. And I remember the minister saying to us, the laborers, one time, he said, "It takes you too long to do everything."
Mm-hmm.
Mm. See.
Yeah. You know, you study the Gospels, you know that the historical Jesus, that 25% of that might have been about him, but the other 75% was about Jesus and his disciples. You know, but again, I lean on and I'll always lean on John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall do also. And greater works than you shall do, because I go unto the Father. Whatsoever you ask of the Father, and of me, in my name, I'll give it to you. So we have to go in the mind, heart, and spirit of Farrakhan, because he has a double portion of his Father's Spirit, because God and the Christ are back in him. So when we line our minds up with him, and we see that all we got is align ourselves together out of his physical presence, and if we don't have envy in our heart, ignorance and fear, we will look to each other and we will see that piece of bread that needs to connect with that other piece of bread, and we will feed his sheep, feed his lambs. We will do that. That's written of us. But we're a little trifling in the beginning. But when those things turn on, it's almost like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Them people started making mashed potato mountains and all kind of stuff, man. He didn't know why the hell he's been drawn to this place. Well, that's what's going to be with us, man. We're going to get signals. We eat to live. We're thinking right. We don't follow up our charity with injury and reproach. Allah will be sending us stuff, you know. But I've got to caution our brothers and sisters on this line who are actually our seers, meaning that Allah sometimes visits them in dreams. No, none of us know how this thing is going to go down. None of us really know. So don't go too far in, "I read this" or "I dreamt that." Don't try to interpret it. Try to encourage us. I hope and pray that when the God or the Christ or the minister visits you in a dream, that it's encouraging you that we're going to make it. Tell me that. That's the one I want to hear.
That's right.
But we're going to have some losses, but there'll be unnecessary losses if we disobey.
That's
right. If we obey and come together, you know, the minister has said things to me that I know were for me. At a certain point in time, he wants me to do certain things with especially the executive council to back them up. He just said things to me, and I know it's coming clearer and clearer as we get closer and closer to his rendezvous with destiny, that we have a rendezvous with destiny. And when it really struck me when the ADL, they said I had a radio program. I had this radio program for 20 years. Now they want to jump on me because I'm playing. He plays Mr. Farrakhan. Take what the hell am I supposed to play on? Stupid people. Really?
Come on.
Praise be to Allah.
They're very corrupt. They're very corrupt. They're very corrupt people. And they're very corrupt. And the thing, you know, the thing about them is denying what is obvious. If I'll put it like this. Let me get into Whoopi Goldberg trouble. Can I get some Whoopi Goldberg trouble right now? I'm going to do it. If I was a Jew that had a grandfather or grandmother that went through the Holocaust and saw how Joseph Goebbels controlled the media and the arts and all of that to make two-thirds of the German population ignore one-third of them disappearing and being in these work in these concentration camps, I'd be damned if I wouldn't come here and control the media. So don't tell me you don't control the media. You'd be a fool not to control the media if that's what happened to you in Nazi Germany. Now, Fight that.
Wow.
Fight that. You'd be a fool. And study Joseph Goebbels. You study these wicked Adolf Hitler. Study them. If you study that, you understand why they have disproportionate numbers in politics, academia, business, all of that. You would understand it. And you wouldn't say it's some kind of anti-Semitic canard. It's not a canard. If you didn't have influence in this country, if not power, you'd be a fool. But these Donald Trump type white people, the mask of civility has come off. Then you talk about Minister Farrakhan and his hits for Motown. That's another one. The mask of civility has come off, and it's not going back on. These people are Hercules Unchained. Okay, so David,
we're going to go back to the phones. We got Brother Louis Ali, the separator, on the line.
There you go.
Assalamu alaikum,
Brother Louis.
Wa alaikum salam. Happy Baby's Day. Muslims are the best. Did you hear me, Dr. Taylor? The Muslims are the best. And we should keep telling each other that, and we should believe that, and we should be confident in that. In our lessons, they ask the question, can the devil fool a Muslim? And the answer is no, not nowadays. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said he pulled the cover off the satanic Jews. And he gave us the secret relationship between blacks and Jews and showed us how they gained control over the black American economy. We should keep fighting to put the Muslim program before the community and then before Congress. And we should become much more territorial as men so that we can get a territory to call our own. The U.S. Secretary of Commerce, Sinclair Weeks, said that they had been studying the black American economy since the early 1930s, and by 1954 they found that the fastest growing economy in the world was the black American economy. And they decided that their economy was dying, the black economy was thriving, and white children, Minister Dr. Abdul Halim, were coming to the black business districts to spend their money with us, and we were growing. And so they met at Stanford and Berkeley, and they even met at Tennessee with that Highlander group, Brother Terrence, and they started concocting a way to steal our economy from us so that we wouldn't have no respect as men, and they would destroy our legacy as if we never built anything since we've been here. Minister Farrakhan pulled the cover off of that. And he's the son of man that we circumvent around. He's our Kaaba. He's the men that make men out of us so that we can build something and have something to call our own. And so our demonstration of love for the minister is to build a reality for our children and for our women and to make our own communities a safe and decent place to live and do it in his nature, in his way, and push Muslims so that we can come to birth. It's Savior's Day. The Muslims are the best, and we should be confident and act like it. May Allah bless y'all. Happy Savior's Day. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, happy Savior's Day.
Wa alaykum salam. Happy Savior's Day, Brother Louis Ali. We've been together recently this past July, and then just this past month at the funeral of Muslims' mother and fathers, beautiful, beautiful, the Henrys. Just two beautiful human beings that produced a family.
Oh,
wonderful. Many of the children Muslims, and some are not, but just wonderful, wonderful family. And me and Brother Louis were on program together, and I love me some Brother Louis. May Allah bless you, Brother Louis.
Oh, praises due to Allah.
Praises.
We're going to go quickly to Brother Mark. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Magnificent Ava, Brother Dr. Aleem Muhammad, Groove 5, Groove Black Man on the Move, and Big Black Terrence. Happy Savior's Day.
Come on now.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ava, all this wisdom that's coming from this program tonight, I'm full as a tick. And with these teachers that we have, like Brother Dr. Aleem was saying, we have nothing to fear, sister. We have nothing to fear. We got enough.
That's
with
right.
The study guide, the final call, the just the program with Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These are the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have no need to fear, Sister Ava. Brother Dr. Aleem Muhammad, sir, you thought travels on the average of 24 billion miles a second. Allah is my witness, brother. You've been all up in my head, brother. When you were speaking tonight, those thoughts have been in my head all week long by Allah's permission, brother. So I'm thankful to what you were saying tonight, and especially about what you said about Sister Ava in regards to if something jumps off and as fearless as she is, even though she's a woman, but she's so fearless, she will make you get up and fight, brother. That's the spirit that she gives off, especially for me. And I was thinking about that today, how fearless and brave and just magnificent you are, Sister Ava. Not just going on, but that was just on my mind today, and the brother happened to be speaking about it. But all praise to Allah. But the minister has to go. If the minister does not go, this ain't going in. And we should want the minister to go so he can go get healed. You know, I want the minister to go so he can go on the mother plane and get healed, sister, get his body fixed. You know, so he can be 100%. You know, we got to quit being selfish. And if he doesn't go, do we still want to continue with this craziness, this madness here? Man, no.
No, and we should love the minister enough that he can go to the wheel and get his healing.
That's
you know,
what
he
I was saying,
it. He got a crown laid up for him, brother. He got a crown laid up for him. He ain't going with that crown, man.
Yes, sir. We don't want to help make him sick, brother, in our ignorance and slothfulness. So we should want him to go. But all praise is due to Allah. And Sister Ava, sister, if a fight break out, I'm just going to tell you, I hope you're around, you know, because you're a warrior, sister, and you will inspire men by Allah's permission. But it's just a magnificent time that we live in. I'm thankful for you, Brother Terrence, and Brother Dr. Aleem on the show for the wisdom that you are giving everybody and sharing with everybody, because all that's going to survive is the life-giving teacher of Elijah Muhammad. Everybody, you got to come this way. You better get that final call. You better get in these study guides and study groups. Go to the mosque, because this is the only thing that's going to last and save our people, because the Elijah Muhammad said the best and only solution is separation. There's no other. So we got to come on together, like the brother said, with the bread and see each other for what we are and fall in love and get busy and have the last thing I'm going to say, how Brother Jibril is. Brother Jibril is one of the most humblest human beings I ever met. No envy and jealousy at all of him. We should emulate that man.
Right,
not humiliate, but emulate that man and try to be like him in the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Assalamu alaikum. Happy Savior's Day. Love you, black family. And keep up the great work, Brother Dr. Aleem, Haleem, Dr. Dot, Sister Ava, you know your show's always popping. And Brother Terrence, Big Black, keep on striving, brother. Love you, soldier. Assalamu alaikum.
Love you, too.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam.
Oh, we got to fire up this table. Got to fire it up.
That's right.
We lit fire to the fox's tails when we send them through the enemy's camp.
Come on, man.
Oh, Allah. Thank you, Allah, for allowing me to be with my sister and my brother and the believers and even the enemies that are listening. Because even if you don't get a warning, if we don't warn you, enemy, your blood will be required of our hands. So this is open for you to listen,
right.
Record, cut up, whatever. Just make sure you spell my name right. It's Haleem, H-A-L-E-E-M. Okay, so make sure they spell it right. M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. Brother Terrence, I'm with you, brother. I tell the media people all the time, I said, I know you ain't going to quote me right, but please spell my name right because my grandchildren may read this paper one day.
Come on now.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I'm a happy warrior. I'm a happy warrior. I'm going to battle, you know, very happily. Some of us are born this way, brothers and sisters. You got to understand. You know, all of my superheroes and heroes are black, but my favorite movie is Patton. And he had one standing order.
Oh, my husband
attack,
loves
attack, and never
that
did
movie.
Patton, I'm Patton. You know, war as he saw it. And he had with him his Black History Month. He threw it a quick Black History fact. Look up the 761st Tank Battalion, Patton's Panthers. They were part of the push that pushed through six countries. They helped wound and capture over 1.5 million Germans, and they were part of Patton's Third Army. Y'all go look that up. That's part of it. They come out of Camp Claiborne here in Louisiana, down in my region, and they went over and they joined Patton over there, and they cut through the Germans like a hot knife through butter. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Sister Ava, for the invitation. Thank you, Brother Terrence. Thank you, Sister Pam, for all that you do in our city and across the country now with your own blog talk radio show and your consistent input in elevated places. May Allah bless us. I can't wait to see your smiling face, Sister Ava, in a few days. And happy Savior Day. And remember, white folks, the swan song is for you.
Come on.
The credits are rolling on your movie right now. Yes, the screenplay by Allah, you know, directed by His Christ, you know.
The credits are rolling.
The credits are rolling right now. The movie's over. The credits are rolling. We're just sitting in the movie theater waiting for that little blurb to come afterwards. You know how sometimes they'll have scenes that they cut out and they'll put at the end of the movie even while the credits is rolling?
Yeah.
Credits are rolling, like that. You may get just one more little gasp, like a light bulb before it goes out. It shines bright, and then it goes out. You will get one more. I'm not making mockery. I know the end.
No,
of the
that's real.
I know
real.
Tomorrow's headlines.
Dr. Anthony, remember the minister named some of them in the criteria. I can see the credits. Dr. Anthony Fauci as himself. Bill Gates as himself. Alan Dershowitz. Oh God! I just got the 90-second warning.
Praise be to Allah, thank you,
brother, student, minister, Dr. Abdul Haleem Muhammad, credentials are essential to a nation. This man knows how to plan cities. Okay, that's what his doctorate is in. Urban.
Come on.
Okay, the real deal. Brother Terrence, thank you for being an awesome co-host. Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, thank you for your contributions. Sister Rona Muhammad, who has been with me from the outset of Elevated Places and Project Separation and everything, all these initiatives that we do. Sister Donna Muhammad, who is also listening in, who moderates Building Our Promised Land, our Zoom program, on those who have already moved out to acquire land and start doing something for themselves. And I thank every single one of you who log in
to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces every Thursday. And those of you who call in and make this discussion so elevated, this is the place to be on Thursday evening. May Allah bless us, and happy Savior's Day. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Happy Savior's Day.
Wa alaikum salam.